Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into the boat and sat it out into the lake, while all the people were alone along on the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others round him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown.
Looking at a number of the parables that Jesus taught, we're going to begin by considering how Christ began his teaching ministry. We're going to think about the response to that. And we're going to think about why he changed it, his teaching style, his method to parables. We're going to think about what parables are. And then finally, we're going to think about that first parable. Sounds a lot, but I do think we're not going to go on too long this morning, but important things for us to think about as we look at this, the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus began his teaching ministry, announcing the good news of God. He said these words, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Mark in his gospel does not record any response to Jesus' teaching until Christ's teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And we read that people were amazed at Jesus' teaching. The word amazed literally means to strike with panic or shock. It means that Christ's teaching struck them like a blow. His preaching carried a powerful punch for the reason that he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. The scribes, they loved to quote the authorities, Rabbi, Hillel says. But on the other hand, Gamaliel says. And then there is Rabbi Eliezer's testimony. It was always second-hand theology, and their petty legalistic distinctions were boring, with no spontaneity and no joy. When Jesus spoke, it was the opposite. His style was, "You have heard it was said, but I tell you." What authority? And the people were left thunderstruck. They were amazed. So what does that tell us, doesn't it? It tells us how important it is to share the words of Jesus. And for us as believers, we can become so too familiar to the words of Jesus. We don't see the impact and the authority in Jesus' words. Not everyone, however, was amazed. Christ's authority and popularity stirred opposition from the teachers of the law, opposition fueled by jealousy and insecurity concerning their status, their influence, their power. Mark records that they looked for any opportunity to accuse him. They questioned his authority to forgive sins. They critiqued the kind of people that Christ shared hospitality with, tax collectors and sinners. They condemned his picking some ears of corn on the Sabbath. They even condemned Christ's healing of a sick man on a Sabbath. No wonder Christ was angered and distressed by the stubbornness of their hearts. They claimed that his power to heal came from the devil. In chapter 3, verse 6, Christ's authority and popularity resulted in the Pharisees plotting with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What contrasting responses to Christ's authoritative teaching, ranging from interest and openness and awe to strong opposition and hostility. Christ's teaching, recorded in Scripture, evokes the same response, range of responses today. I wonder where you are on the spectrum. I wonder if there's still awe, if you're a believer, in your heart towards the teaching of Jesus. Or is it just all too familiar? Just lost the impact of authority and the impact that Christ would want his word to have on us. Chapter 4, verse 2 reveals that Jesus spoke in a new way to the crowds of people. Parables. Matthew 13 tells us that from then on, Jesus didn't speak to the crowds without parables. How important they must have been. A third of all of Christ's teaching consisted of parables. Did you know that the fact that Jesus spoke in parables was a fulfillment of prophecy? Psalm 78, verse 2, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Well, what are parables? Parables are short, simple, fictional stories about everyday life, farming, fishing, lost sheep, lost coins, hospitality, weddings, people getting robbed. Stories which had an underlying spiritual message, revealing insight into the kind of kingdom that Jesus Christ came to establish. Chapter 4, 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Through parables, Christ not only revealed what the kingdom of God is like, he also revealed what the hearts of those who were listening to the parables were like as well. For those whose hearts were resistant to Christ and his kingdom, the parables would result in them remaining in the same state of indifference or spiritual darkness. It's quoted from Isaiah 6, they would be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Why would that be the case? Matthew, in his Gospel, 13, verse 15, quoting further from Isaiah's prophecy, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. According to Isaiah's prophecy, the reason for the hearts of those resistant to Christ and his kingdom remaining hardened, becoming even more hardened, was attributed to two things. Firstly, because they have closed their eyes. As a result of responding that way to the light, giving life-giving word of God, their understanding would become more darkened. Their hearts would become even more hardened and calloused than what they had previously been. But there's a second reason given. It's because of God's judgment. Because the people had repeatedly hardened their hearts to God and closed their eyes and ears to the voice of God, they reached a point where God in judgment says, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. How important it is when we hear God's voice that we respond and that we don't harden our hearts, because God in judgment could say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. So that's parables for those whose hearts were resistant and hard and closed. Parables for those whose hearts were open to God and his teaching and his light. Well, they increased. They increased in insight and understanding. They came to Jesus with their questions, and he gave them more light and understanding. And we read of that, about that taking place in the passage that we read. The 12 disciples and others came to Jesus with questions about the parables he told them. And Christ explained to them the meaning of the first parable he told them. The parable of the sower and the seed. And because their hearts were open to God and his teaching and his light, the secrets of the kingdom belonged to them, would be revealed to them. How important that our hearts are open to God and his teaching and his light. And if they are, we will receive more light and understanding. So with that as a background, we're now going to look at the first parable. Christ introduced his new way of preaching to a very large crowd of people on the shore of Galilee, believed to be the largest crowd that Jesus ever encountered. Present with him were his newly appointed 12 apostles and other followers of Jesus. The crowd was so great that Jesus had to preach to the multitude on the shore while sitting on a boat on the lake. What a memorable experience that must have been. We see Christ's compassion and his concern for the multitudes. We also see his inventiveness. He was prepared to preach from a boat if it meant more people could hear the good news. How concerned are we about others hearing the good news about Jesus? Does that concern manifest itself in words, in actions, in sacrifices, in creativity? Thinking of ways how you can introduce the gospel to people. Being prepared to make sacrifices. Obviously praying about it, but saying, Lord, what can I do? Is there anything? I would love to do something. I'm so eager for someone to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. Jesus was prepared to get into a boat and preach. What are we prepared to do? As an expression of the compassion and the love and the concern that we have for those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Jesus spoke four parables to the multitude in one sitting. It's likely that the discussion Christ had with his disciples about parables and their meaning came at the end of his teaching. Mark, however, in his gospel, inserts that discussion earlier to explain to us the significance of parables and to interpret the first parable to us. Three of the four parables Jesus told here were on the theme of seeds being sown and the results which follow. In the first parable, we're introduced to a story about a farmer scattering seeds. And what catches our attention is that the farmer scatters his seed in all types of soil, not only on the well-tended soil, but also on soil which was hard on the surface, the path, soil which was rocky, and also soil which contained thorns and weeds. Well, either the farmer was unwise, or he was wasteful, or he had great faith in the power of the seed. It's something we're going to see in one of the parables, the power existing within the seed. But we apply to God here just now. It indicates something of God's love for everyone, doesn't it? Irrespective of your response, he knows if your heart's like a path. He knows, he sees all the weeds and he sees the shallowness, but he's still prepared and he wants you to hear the good news, and he commissions his church to go out, make disciples of all nations. See something of God's love, for God so loved the world. God's love for everyone. The parable reveals the results of the farmer's extensive seed scattering. The seeds which landed on the hard path, well, it lay on the surface, and the birds came and ate them up. The seeds on rocky soil, The shallow soil, well, they germinated quickly but had no root. And when the sun scorched the plant, it withered. The seeds falling on weedy soil. The weeds choked the plant so that it did not bear fruit. The seeds landing on a good, healthy soil produced a crop, a great harvest. Jesus prefaced the parable with the command, listen. And he ended the parable with the words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he tells us the meaning of this parable. It's all about hearing. All about different ways that we can respond to the teaching of Jesus, to the Word of God. Four different ways are mentioned. First of all, we can respond with resistance and hardness of heart to God's word. It speaks of unbelief or indifference or unwillingness to change. And who were the most resistant to Christ's teachings? It was highly religious people. Resistant because of pride and self-righteousness and stubbornness. Because of resistance to the heart of the heart to the voice of God, we become deaf, we become blind to the word of God, and we've learned it's a serious condition to be in. And then secondly, we can respond impulsively to God and his word. We can immediately receive the word with joy, but when testing and hard times come because of that word, and you ever prayed about that in Korea, the testing because of the word, we can turn away from the Christian faith and from God, saying, well, Christianity doesn't work. According to the teaching of the Bible, trials and testing and hard times are part and parcel of the Christian life. Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. The words in James, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We see the danger of responding impulsively or superficially to the word of God. And then thirdly, we can be distracted from God and his word. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things choke the word and make it unfruitful in our lives. Lastly, there's a responsive heart, a heart where they hear the word and they accept it. And it produces a crop of 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Jesus ends with the words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The question Jesus is asking us this morning is, what is your response to the word of God? The word of God can produce a great harvest in our hearts and in our lives if we allow it to. How important that we examine our hearts and look at our lives. Is our heart resistant? Is our heart impulsive? Is our heart distracted. And really, we can be all of these responses. We can, times we can be resistant. Every one of us, we know that honestly, as believers, we can turn away from the challenge in God's word. We can be impulsive. We can be so easily distracted. And if that is the case, and if God has revealing that to us, then we need to go back to the first words of Jesus, don't we? And that, how he began his teaching. We need to repent and believe the good news. We need to have a change of heart as we see our heart and we see God's desire for our heart. We need to have a different attitude. And we need to believe, we need to respond to God's word rightly in our lives. We need to come to Jesus for light and understanding. Ask him for light. And that's humbling, isn't it? Humbling to do that every day. To ask for light, for illumination. So just at the end of our service just now, before we come to communion, for us to just to bow our heads and our hearts and before the Lord as his light shines into our hearts, where are we? What is our heart's response? And to ask God for light and understanding, ask him to change our hearts. Give us a right response to his word. And at the end of our service, we have these seats at the side. If you would appreciate prayer, then please just sit in one of those seats and we'll pray for you. But at this moment, just to pause and just to be honest in our hearts before the Lord and to pray for his transforming power and for light and understanding, particularly in the light of the table before us. We're just coming very shortly to the table. And as we think of the one who was the very word of God, that he was broken for us. He was broken. He suffered. And in that brokenness, you know, those words that he spoke, those words on the cross, words of forgiveness, words of prayer, words of submission, words of triumph, words of Jesus, powerful words. His word can change our lives. Ongoing change our lives. May his words come with authority. Come with power to us.